Turning your Bibles to the book of Luke, the 15th chapter. Luke, the 15th chapter. I'm going to be looking at verses 1 through 10 in just a moment. While you're turning there, before we read it together, let me just ask you a couple of questions, not to answer out loud, but to answer in your heart. Have you ever felt like God's out there somewhere and I just don't see him, I don't feel him, I don't know where he is? And you ever felt like God's far away? Or have you ever felt like maybe you are far away? Well, are we seeking him, or is he seeking us? Do we return to him, or is he returning to us? Well, I want to share two stories out of Luke, the 15th chapter, that can answer those two questions, those few questions for us. So in Luke chapter 15, there's three parables. We're only going to look at two of those parables today. Verse 1, and then all the tax collectors and the sinners drew near him to hear him. And the Pharisees and the scribes complained, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." And so he spoke this parable to them, saying, "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep, which was lost.' I say to you that likewise, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than 99 just persons who need no repentance." Verse 8, "And what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls her friends and neighbors together, saying, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found the peace that was lost.' Likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." Those are beautiful parables that we sometimes overlook when we look at that passage, because we look at the parable of the prodigal son. Well, we're not going to look at the prodigal son today, but I want us to focus a little bit on these two parables. You know, I believe that God wants a relationship with me and you more than we want a relationship with him. Someone once said, "Christianity is not about our disciplined pursuit of God, but about God's revelation pursuit, relentless pursuit of us, to the point of dying on the cross so that we might be saved." I want to give you four statements that I see in this passage that we can look to. When I am far away, God still sees me. When you are far away, God still sees you. Now, sometimes people think, well, God's only there at the church. No, God's with you wherever you are. He sees you when you're at work, when you're at play, when you're with family, when you're on the road traveling. So here's a story of a man that has sheep, 100 sheep. He saw the 99, but one was missing. One was missing. And now you could easily say, well, you know, the better thing to focus on is you got 99. But you know, you got one that's missing. And he put the focus on that one. In the context, you see there's the tax collectors and the sinners. And they were coming to Jesus and they were wanting to hear him. And in that day and time, You know, nobody liked the tax collectors. Nobody likes tax collectors today when they come and say, well, you know, you got to pay your taxes. We don't like that. But the Pharisees and the scribes, they did not like the tax collectors. They did not like the other sinners that were coming around Jesus, because they were, in one sense, the Pharisees were prejudiced towards sinners because they thought of themselves as being righteous. But you know what? You have never sunk so low or wandered so far or sinned so deep that Jesus cannot see you. If you've ever seen the most recent movie of the Titanic, there's a scene in the Titanic where the characters Rose and Jack are floating around in the frozen Atlantic Ocean. They've got ice crystals on them. They're just about frozen. And Rose is holding on to Jack on the side of that piece of wood or whatever it was that they were kind of on. And he's about to pass away. And when she lets go of him, you see him sinking down until you can't see him anymore in the water. Well, of course, we know that today that in that situation of the Titanic, the bodies were disintegrated before they ever hit the bottom because of the pressure. But nothing is so deep that we could be in that God doesn't see us. He sees us even in the darkest depths of life. We're not beyond his reach. We're in his sight because of the grace of God. There's a beautiful Christian song. If you've never heard it on the radio, look it up on YouTube. It's by Matthew West, called Grace Wins. And the song starts off, he says, you know, in my deepest, darkest time, I see you and I can read the expression on your face that you're saying, well, you've done it this time, it's too late. I'm kind of paraphrasing a little bit. You've done it this time, it's too late. You're on your own. But then he says, then I hear your voice say, it's not over. And throughout the song, he makes an expression that I love when he says, grace wins. Grace wins every single time, folks. Always grace is winning, and we may not see it, we may not feel it, but grace wins every time. You know, as if I give you some examples of those that seem to be, in one sense, the word far away, first there was Zacchaeus. He was a tax collector. We know the story of Zacchaeus. He was a little short man, and he knew Jesus was coming by, so he wanted to see him. So he climbs up into a sycamore tree. Now, I do not think Zacchaeus climbed that tree thinking, I'm going to talk to Jesus today. He didn't want to talk to Jesus. He just wanted to see him. But you know the story. Jesus comes by. He looks up in the tree, and he says, Zacchaeus, come on down. I'm going to your house today. Now, you could say, well, here was this guy. He was far away from God. But God knew exactly where he was. Another example is, you remember the story of the woman at the well? When Jesus encountered her, her life had been, she'd had, what was it, 7 husbands, and the guy she was with was not her husband. And she would literally come to the well at the time when the other women were not coming, so that she would not be ridiculed or made fun of by the other women. But Jesus was there specifically at this right time to meet her and to let her know that his grace would cover her as well. Then in Paul's life, when there was a Philippian jailer and Paul was in prison and he was chained, there was an earthquake, the jail cells bursted open, and the jailer wakes up. He'd been asleep, and he looks and he could see those doors open, and he looks down and he thinks, I'm in trouble because they will accuse me of falling asleep. And they've escaped. So he starts to kill himself. And Paul says, we're still here. Well, as a result of all of that, Paul led that jailer to Christ because of God's grace. In the Old Testament, there was a woman named Rahab, the prostitute. Now, she had heard about what the Israelites were going to do. She knew good and well the Israelites had plans to destroy Jericho. But yet when those spies came and she housed those spies, because of God's grace, she trusted in the Lord. And then finally, Saul of Tarsus, who was later named Paul, he was wreaking havoc with those that were Christians. He would come to your house with guards, and if you were a Christian, they could drag you out into the street and stone you. Well, imagine, let's put it more modern. What if someone came to your house this afternoon and said, you're a Christian, and they drag you out of your house, and they wait for a logging truck to come by, and they throw you out in front of that logging truck? That'd be bad. Hopefully that doesn't happen. But because of God's grace on Paul, or Saul at the time, God encountered him, and he experienced God's grace. So God sees you wherever you are. You know, I've had the privilege of literally traveling all over the world. And you know, I've seen God in other places of the world. I've seen God when they're singing hymns in a church or songs in a church. And I thought, I don't understand a word they're saying, but I know it's amazing grace. Or I know that it's just as I am. Or I know that it's one of the other great songs. They're singing it in their language. I may not understand the words, but I know what's going on. God sees us. And then the second thing is, when I am far away, or when you are far away, God wants you. God still wants you. And it talks about, here's these 99 sheep. And sheep would be valuable in that day and time. They are today as well. And he got 99 and one's missing. He wants that one because it's valuable. A number of years ago, we had a golden retriever, and she was registered, and we wanted to have some puppies so that we could sell those puppies. And so we bred our golden retriever with a male dog. And my dog, Hannah, we named our pets biblical names. Our dog, Hannah, because it was in the wintertime, it was cold. We literally brought her into the kitchen, made her a little bed so she could have her puppies. And when she started having her puppies, she was having some problems. One died. Another one died. We called the vet. The vet, who was a friend of ours, came literally to our house. And all told, there was 14 puppies. And every one of them died. But you know, those were valuable puppies. To me, they were valuable, but, you know, they all died. But think of if one of the sheep is lost and the shepherd leaves the 99 and goes looking for that one. How special that is. Or the fact that the woman lost a silver coin. And she searches the house. She lights a lamp. She sweeps and cleans and does whatever. When she finds that coin, or when the shepherd finds that sheep, they rejoice. They call their friends and rejoice. Do you rejoice when you hear of someone else that's trusted Jesus Christ? Someone you don't know? Hopefully you do. I mean, we should rejoice because they're part of our family now. Others may not think much of you, maybe your family, friends, co-workers. Others may give up on you, but God sees you and he won't give up on you. Each of us has a deep desire to be wanted and be included. When I was a young boy, I signed up to play Little League Baseball. And my best friend, he signed up too, and we kind of signed up together. And we, you know, went through all the tryouts and everything. And my friend, Tommy, he was chosen for what was called the A team. I was chosen for the B team because I wasn't as good as Tommy. But I really wanted to be included in that. But, you know, I was on a different team in a different category. And the thing that I always wanted to do, I wanted to get out there and play. But I found that my calling was to be the bench warmer. And I sat on the bench most of the time because the coach didn't want to use me. But I wanted to be included in that. A Christian writer named Philip Yancey has said, "You cannot read the Bible without hearing the loud message that God cares for the displaced, the downtrodden, the oppressed, the humble, the needy, those who know their lostness and who long to be found." Are you, in your life, in your heart, are you displaced or downtrodden or oppressed in any way? Are you broken? Are you bruised? Are you battered? You know, we can get bruises, physical bruises, all the time. Sometimes we may fall or we may bump ourselves and we get a bruise. And I discovered I had a bruise right here the other day. I don't even know how I got it, but it's there. But it don't hurt. But sometimes some of those bruises that are deep within our hearts really hurt us. Has the world, has friends chewed you up, spat on you, not maybe physically, but in an emotional sense, spat on you? You know, that's really hard when you have a friend or a family member that criticizes you because of a mistake that you made in your life. Now, listen to me carefully. If you've ever made a mistake, and guess what? We all have. If you've ever made a mistake in your life, if you've ever messed up in your life, and you've asked God to forgive you for that, whatever it was, and someone comes to you and they try to bring it up and say, "Look at what you did. You ought to be ashamed of yourself." Here's your response. What's in your closet? Because I guarantee you, when someone points a finger at you or me, and I've had friends, I've had preachers that have pointed fingers at me and said, "Oh, you did this, you did that, blah, blah, blah." Then I'll come back and say, "Well, what's in your closet? What do you have that you haven't asked God to forgive you of?" Because we all make mistakes, okay? We are human. Jesus said, God sees us, He loves us, He values us, and He wants us back in the fold. The third thing is, when I'm far away, or when you're far away, God still loves us. Here was this man that was a shepherd, and his sheep was far away, but he still loved the sheep that was missing. Now in verse 2, it says, they say, this man, meaning Jesus, receives sinners. Now, it's like they were saying, well, he welcomes sinners, because the word receives can also mean to welcome. But in Luke chapter 7, Jesus is referred to as a friend of sinners. And that was an insult, because they were mocking him and insulting him. But Jesus not only received sinners, he died on the cross for sinners. And of course, if he's a friend of a sinner and he dies on the cross, aren't you glad that Jesus did that because of you? Whatever your life is, when Jesus went to the cross, he took your sins, my sins, on his place on the cross. In Romans 5:8, it says, and God demonstrated his own love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And we can never give up on anyone. We should never give up on anyone, really. Because you see, God wants that person in our family, our heavenly family, our spiritual family, so to speak. Never give up on someone. No matter where you've gone, no matter what kind of life that you may have lived, no matter what kind of sins you may have committed, Jesus died to pay the price for your sins. Never forget that. Public sins, private sins, little sins, secret sins. You know the answer? Sin is sin in God's eyes. Jesus died on the cross for the murderer. He died on the cross for the rapist. He died on the cross for the one who tells a little white lie. He died on the cross for those who cheated on their income tax. He died on the cross for sins of the people. And in God's eyes, sin is sin. There's no little thing, big sin, little sin. There's nothing like that. So whenever you're far away from God, remember, He still loves you. He still sees you. He's disappointed in what you do. God has a soft spot for you. Someone told me this week, said, I guess you just have a soft spot for someone. Well, Jesus did. And I want to be like Jesus. Have a soft spot. Yes, someone may have sinned. Someone in your family may have done something that you just, you know, you detest. But you still love them. And you want to bring them back. And then the fourth thing is, when I'm far away, God pursues after me. The shepherd goes and looks for the one sheep when one is lost. The woman sweeps the house and seeks diligently for that lost coin. It used to be a long time ago, I had a lot of different old coins. I don't have but a few now, but nothing worth anything. But I used to have some that was worth a lot. And if I displaced them or if I misplaced them somehow, I'd want to search for where that coin was. Well, that's what the woman did. But why does God pursue us? Why does He come after us? You see, we are unwilling to come back on our own. Because we have that pride. Well, you know, I can't come back. You know, He won't take me back. We are unable to come back on our own. It's an old hymn. And I didn't look it up to see if it's in the hymn book, but you probably have heard it if it's not. I've wandered far away from God. Now I'm coming home. The paths of sin too long I've trod. Lord, I'm coming home. Coming home, coming home. Never more to roam. Open wide thine arms of love. Lord, I'm coming home. You know, God is still pursuing. He's still looking after you. There's a secular song, an old song, that says, I always feel like somebody's watching me. Well, guess what? That's a secular song, but it's a spiritual truth to it, because someone is always watching after you. Maybe a dad who's neglected his family. God's pursuing that dad. Maybe a student drawn into a wrong crowd. Heard a young college-age girl give a testimony last night. She said, I grew up in a church, and when I went off to college at Georgia Southern, I got away from church, got to hanging around the wrong crowd, got to doing things. She said, but I realized God was still pursuing after me, and I made a U-turn and went back to God. Had a beautiful testimony. Maybe a wife or a mother ready to give up on a marriage. Maybe you, someone here, maybe living with a secret sin. Maybe someone here who's never given their heart to the Lord as Master and Savior. Just remember this. Whoever, whatever situation, God still sees you. God's still pursuing after you. God still loves you. He doesn't give up. Oh, you're finished. I'm done with you. He does not do that. He still loves you. He still pursues after you. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you for loving us. Thank you for your grace upon us. Lord, without that grace, we are totally hopeless. Lord, there may be someone here today that's strayed away. Maybe they've gotten involved in a sin and they just can't seem to break loose and they feel like, well, God's so far away I could never find Him. You're not far away. You're still very close. We've just moved ourselves away. Lord, I pray that You'll touch hearts if hearts need to be touched. Lord, I pray that you will help us to help others that we come in contact with that have drifted away from you, to let them see and realize you still love them. You're still pursuing after them. You still see them wherever they are. You haven't gone away. You're standing there ready with your arms stretched out, ready to welcome back. Thank you, Father, for being a God like that. Other religions in the world, Lord, that have their gods are dead. Their gods do not love the people, but you do, and we thank you for that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.